So this morning we are reading from Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 18, text number 29. Okay, it's there. Piche, say it after me. Abhutpurvah sahasa Kshutradbhyam arditatmanah Brahmanam pratyabhut brahman Matsaro manyurevacha Abhutpurvah sahasah Kshutradbhyam arditatmanah Brahmanam pratyabhut brahman Matsaro manyurevacha. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. O Brahmanas, the king's anger and envy directed toward the Brahman sage were unprecedented. Being that circumstances had made him hungry and thirsty. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. For a king like Maharaj Parikshit to become angry and envious, especially at a sage and a Brahmin, was undoubtedly unprecedented. The king knew well that the Brahmanas, sages, children, women, and old men are always beyond the jurisdiction of punishment. Similarly, the king, even though he commits a great mistake, is never to be considered a wrongdoer. But in this case, Maharaj Parikshit became angry and envious at the sage due to his thirst and anger by the will of the Lord. The king was right to punish his subject for coldly receiving him or neglecting him. But because the culprit was a sage and a Brahman, it was unprecedented. As the Lord is never envious of anyone, so also the Lord's devotee is never envious of anyone. The only justification for Maharaj Parikshit's behavior is that it was ordained by the Lord. Abhutpurvah sahasa kshutradbhyam arditatmanah brahmanam pratyabhut brahman matsaro manyurevacha. O Brahmanas, the king's anger and envy directed toward Brahman sage were unprecedented. Being that circumstances had made him hungry and thirsty. Are you hungry? Okay, then you won't be angry if I talk for a while. Hunger and anger has close connection. So 5,000 years ago, someone getting angry because of being hungry also was unheard of, unprecedented. Now it is common. 5,000 years ago, those were different times, different modes were dominating the scene, and three modes are the causes of practically all the activities. It is also unprecedented. Abhut, it never happened. Abhut, bhutkal. In the past, it never happened. Abhut purvaha, also purvaha. In the past, something like this never happened. However, sahasa, suddenly something happened. This was not a nityam, a daily affair, especially with king like King Parikshit. He was a Vaishnav king. He was Rajarshi. He had darshan of the Lord even before he took birth. We say, oh, he is born with good qualities. But King Parikshit had those qualities even before he took birth. Not just from the birth, but before his birth. Lord shared the womb of Uttara with King Parikshit, Sahodaraha. There are two, Lord and Parikshit, they are called Sahodaraha, the abdomen. There are two together, Sahodaraha. Like brothers, like a friend, a protector, Lord had entered the womb and given darshan to King Parikshit. And when he appeared, took birth, then he wanted to again meet that friend, that person. Oh, where is that person? Is that this the person I met? Not this. What about this one, smiling one? No, not that one. So he was doing little pariksha, little examination. Is this the person? Is this the person? Is that the person? Then he was coming to Nati, Neti, Neti, Naiti, 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 not this, not this one, not this one, not this one. Oh, that one, Kunjabihari, that one. So from very birth, King Parikshit was a saintly person with association of the Lord in the womb. And then he was, there's a whole chapter that describes his qualities. He has been compared with Sri Ram. He ruled just like Sri Ram. Ruled the kingdom. And born in a family of the Pandavas, very close associates, not only associates, but the family members. The Pandavas were the family members of Lord Krishna. In that family, he has taken birth as a grandson of Arjuna. Arjuna is also a devotee. Bhakto Sime, you are my devotee. And his son, Abhimanyu, and his son, Parikshit. Oh, wow. Coming from very exalted family, and he had all the association of the saintly persons throughout his life. It was Rajarsi. And when he saw that cow being beaten up, immediately he took the sword. And he was ready to kill, slaughter that so-called king. He was not the king. He was just disguised. He had a dress like a king. Like you may dress sometimes donkey like a lion. But he doesn't act like lion. If you beat, he will not roar, but do braying. So just because he has a dress of a king, he wasn't acting. He was acting like a very low class. So King Parikshit could not tolerate. And he knew the principle, Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha. Immediately was ready to kill. So that's just some sampling of the qualities and character of King Parikshit. So this person has become angry. Abhut Purvaha Sahasa. Unprecedented. King Parikshit and getting angry. Oh, this is unheard of. The King Parikshit and anger did not go together. Of course, he did become angry when cow was being harassed, being beaten up. He was angry, and he's not blamed for that anger. So it's not non-violence all the way. Sometimes the violence is necessary. Sometimes being angry and violent to kill becomes a necessity. So that should not be misunderstood as Mahatma Gandhi misunderstood the whole battle of Kurukshetra and the anger and battle and killing and the bloodshed. Mahatma Gandhi, he wanted to prove ahimsa paramo dharmaha as the supreme principle, non-violence. So he couldn't understand. And as a result, in fact, he never accepted this battle of Kurukshetra as a historical fact. No, this never happened. How could Lord inspire or give whole speech so that Arjuna could become angry and violent? No, no, this is not possible. So that war never happened. And if someone was going to prove to me that this war really actually happened, it was a historical fact, if someone could prove that to me, that very moment I would resign from the membership of this Hindu Dharma. I would not like to be the member of such a religion where violence is promoted, propagated, practiced, and even God is involved and he does nothing In fact, he inspires Arjuna, instructs Arjuna. So Mahatma Gandhi completely misunderstood, did not understand this ahimsa principle. Where to apply ahimsa, where not to apply ahimsa. If all the doctors in Ruby Hospital, I just heard that name, that famous hospital, if they would decide to become non-violent, no, cutting the belly, making holes, and then, we're not going to do this. What would happen? One doctor is sitting right here. If this, he would decide to become non-violent from, he would go out of his job, he would lose the job. Hospitals would be closed. So that kind of taking a knife or whatever, chakshu, shalakaya, the instruments, and that becomes necessary. Towards the end of the operation, the patient says, "Thank you, doctor. Thank you, doctor. How much could I pay you for you cut my open, cut the belly open, and for this, I thank you. And here's a 10,000 rupees on the top of that. Thank you, and take this." So, the violence, some use of scissors and knives, it has a purpose. It helps. It has a positive utility. So in the society also, sometimes the violence is necessary. But anyway, in this case here, there was no such situation. There was no life and death situation. Someone was just sitting in meditation. Was that Shamyak Rishi? He was sitting in meditation. And King Parikshit, he had been out practicing archery, sunny days. And he was naturally hungry and thirsty. And he had come to this ashram. "Hey, someone could get some water for me?" And there was no response. And as he goes forward, he only noticed Shamyak Rishi was sitting in trance. And he thought, he's pretending. Because he doesn't want to even serve water to the guest. Where is Atithi Devo Bhava principle? Why is he not getting up and giving me some water? Just because he doesn't want to serve me water, he sat down with his eyes closed and in dhyana mudra. He's not really in genuine trance. He's just faking it, as they say. So these thoughts were also unprecedented. King Parikshit, to think like this, think about the sage like this, was also unprecedented. And as he thought like this, and then he wanted to take revenge, and he noted there is some snake, dead snake, he picks up with his arrow and puts that as a garland around the neck of the sage. Sage did not even take notice of some... And King Parikshit departed. Very soon his son, what is his name? Shringi comes, and he notices his father sitting in trance. But there's a dead snake around the neck of his father. And immediately, any person who has done this, within 7 days, he would lose his life. The snake bird would come and bite and kill, take the life of the person who has done this act. In fact, this also was unprecedented. This kind of cursing and counter-cursing. He was the son of a Brahmin. Very exalted Brahmin, exalted sage. You could have tolerated, at least tolerated, gone deeper into the matter, who did this, King Parikshit, and he cannot be blamed. He is beyond jurisdiction of punishment. Never to be considered. The king is never to be considered a wrongdoer. So he did not take that into account. This has been done by King Parikshit, Emperor Parikshit. He couldn't be wrong. Let it go. So he could have forgiven, forgotten. But he did not do so. He cursed. This was also unprecedented. And it has been pointed that this was kind of the first time ever Brahmin cursing a Rajarshi. And this cursing of Shamyak Rishi, the Kali Yuga then gets going. Kali Yuga really shows its true color. And then Brahmin begin cursing every now and then, and it becomes very common as we experience that now. But the Shammak Muni Rishi's son, he was one of the first one to curse like that, unnecessary cursing, cursing a king like King Parikshit. So act on behalf, the act of King Parikshit is unprecedented. The act of this the son of Shammak Rishi is also unprecedented. Srila Prabhupada is explaining that the only justification is, how could King Parikshit think someone like a sage, Shammak Rishi, to be a pretender? This kind of thought, behind this thought is a lord. Lord has made him think like this. The only justification for King Parikshit's behavior is that it was ordained by the Lord. It was ordained by the Lord, this only thing. Then it is possible. Otherwise, King Parikshit would not, on his own accord, he would not do such a thing. Lord is involved, and Lord has ordained. As a result, he insulted sage who was sitting in genuine trance. There is explanation also, another explanation, why King Parikshit, he acted in the way he acted that particular day. He was wearing a crown. There was something with the crown that he was wearing. It was a golden crown, studded with jewels or rubies and other valuable stones. And this was Jarasandha's crown. Jarasandha's crown. When Krishna, Arjuna and Bhima had gone over to capital of Jarasandha and battled, Bhima battled with him, and I think it took 28 days battling and then finally killing, which was also done with the help of the Lord. Bhima could not have achieved this such a feat on his own. So when Jarasandha was no more, his son was enthroned as Sahadev was his name. He was made a king. And then this Sahadev, he gave some gifts to his exalted guests, Krishna, Bhima, Arjuna. And one of the gifted item was this crown, which Krishna, Bhima and Arjuna, they brought that to Hastinapur. So it was lying around, carrying dust. But that particular day, King Parikshit, this looks nice crown. It's a nice crown. So he puts that on and goes into the forest. So it was influence of that crown, golden crown that King Parikshit was wearing. Reminder that the Kali was allowed to reside in four places. What are those four places? Yeah, Striya. Dyutam Panam Suni Striya. Dyutam, those four places. And then one more place, yes, also in the gold or money that is acquired by illegal means. The Kali also would reside. So Kali was residing in this golden crown, and that crown did influence King Parikshit, and hence his activity was, he became angry and he could not tolerate the thirst, and to the extent that kamat krodho vijayate, he was so much attached. Where is water? Could someone get me water? Get me water. And no one gave him water. He became angry. Kamat krodho vijayate. So it was influence of that golden crown which came from Jarasandha. He was not very noble king, acquiring all the wealth by noble means. So that is something, some cause. Well, Lord is cause of all causes. Lord is enough for enough cause. And not another cause is required, but the crown is made some kind of nimitta matram. made some kind of means. Or Lord, maybe Lord made him wear. Okay, you wear this crown today. Let's see what happens. I want something to happen. you wear this crown. So behind this even desire of wearing, putting that crown, the justification for this is it was ordained by the Lord. As a result, something good has come out. What did we get out of this? What has the world received out of this cursing, counter-cursing, and King Parikshit insulting Shamyak Rishi, and then he was cursed to die in 7 days. And what did we get? Srimad Bhagavatam. Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Thank you, Parikshit, for insulting that Shamyak Rishi. If he had not insulted, then you would not have been cursed and no Bhagavatam coming out of this whole affair. So something good has come out of this. And now he did realize, when he heard, King Parikshit heard that he has been cursed, you will die, he heard the curse. You have only 7 days to go. Oh, who has cursed me? Srangi has cursed you. So King Parikshit could have sent army to kill or take care of him, arrest him, bring him, produce him before me. I'll imprison him, I'll beat him. Did he do that? No. King Parikshit, as a Vaishnav emperor, he was doing pashyatap. Pashyat means afterwards. Tap means feeling very bad, very sad for whatever activity he had performed. So King Parikshit has acted as an exemplary Vaishnav king, Rajarshi king. Oh, just this curse. He was expecting much more. Oh, that's all. That's all. For act like this, I should have been punished 100 times over more. I accept this. And immediately he was prepared. He took the crown away, took everything away. He puts on just a loin cloth and is sitting on the bank of Ganga, ready to go within 7 days. And then Lord had ordained, and more things were arranged by the Lord as the news spread all over. King Parikshit would be on the planet in his body only for 7 more days. Everyone was distressed to hear and surprised. They all rushed, Rajarshis and Maharshis and Devarshis. They all came running and they're all sitting around. And there was a whole debate going, oh, what should he do? How should he spend his 7 days? Oh, he could do Ashtanga Yoga. Oh, he could do Ramdev Baba's Kapalbhati, or different things were being proposed. He could do this, he could do that. And then Shukadeva Goswami comes on the scene. That Ojasvi, Tejasvi, Yashasvi personality, effulgent like sun. Everyone stood up as he arrived on the scene. Everyone bowed down to... And then it was obvious, they concluded, he should listen to Bhagavatam. Because the goal is Ante Narayana Smritihi. The end of one's life, one should remember. And then King Parikshit inquired, what should one do under such circumstances? Japyam, what should he chant? What should be the mode of worship? And this and that. And the conclusion was, listen to Bhagavatam. And he recited Srimad Bhagavatam for 7 days and 7 nights. And it was maybe like a fourth day of recitation of Bhagavatam. And for 4 days, he had been sitting here, King Parikshit. He haven't taken any food, no drink. Should we have a little break so that you could take a little breakfast? Yes? We haven't asked you. This is Sukhdev Goswami is asking King Parikshit. In fact, Sukhdev Goswami did not even speak in these words. But King Parikshit read the mind of Sukhdev Goswami. King Parikshit was thinking, maybe Sukhdev Goswami is thinking, let's have a little break and let's eat or drink something. Thinking that Sukhdev Goswami is thinking like this, King Parikshit responds to that unspoken words of Sukhdev Goswami. And he says, and that is in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, Naishati dussaha kshun mam tyakta udam api badhate pibantam tvan mukham bhoja achutam harikathamritam. He says, no. Do not propose this drinking and eating business. I had enough of it because one time I could not tolerate this, my thirst, my hunger. As a result, I would be leaving my body. So I don't want to be bothered anymore by this thirst and hunger. If you are proposing that, no, don't stop. Let us not stop. Go on speaking. And why should I only drink water while you are mukham bhoja achutam kathamritam? You are giving me amrit. You are feeding me a nectar. Why should I stop and just drink Bisleri water? Some kind of water. How could amrit be compared with water? I don't know. No. Let's not stop. Carry on. I have learned the lesson. So he's remembering. I misbehaved. This third, vacho vegam, manasaha krodha vegam, jivha vegam, udara upastha vegam. This vegam, these pushings, this thirst pushed me. This tongue pushed me. Pushed me to death, in fact. So, no more. I had enough. So Srila Prabhupada is commenting in that verse. Srila Prabhupada writes, hunger and thirst from my fast, excuse me, not to disturb me, he said, that's King Parikshit. Once, when I felt very thirsty, I went to ashrama of Shamyak Muni to drink water, but the Muni did not supply it. I was cursed by the Brahmin boy. Now, however, I'm quite fit. I'm not at all disturbed by my hunger and thirst. This indicates that although on the material platform there are disturbances from hunger and thirst, on the spiritual platform there is no such thing as fatigue. So King Parikshit was no more tired or fatigued, and he was on the spiritual plane. So I'm here. The devotee's unprecedented behavior is ordained by the Lord. As the world received the gift of the Bhagavatam, Lord arranged it. When the Kali Yuga was 30 years old, when King Parikshit heard Bhagavatam, Kali Yuga was only 30 years old. Now Kali Yuga is 230 years old. 5,230 years, over 30 years old. So when Bhagavatam was spoken, it was only 30 years old. The Lord kindly arranged so that the world gets the gift of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna swadhamopagate dharma jnana divhissaha. Lord returned to his own abode, but he left behind Kalau kalau nashta drasham isham, people lost the eyesight. Kalau nashta drasham, drishti, they lost their eyesight. They were not able to see things as they are. Purana arka uditaha. Then Lord has arranged the Bhagavatam. Brilliant as sun, the Bhagavatam appeared on the scene by the divine arrangement of the Lord. Bhagavatam is a gift of the Lord, arrangement of the Lord. Bhagavad Gita, I was thinking, Bhagavad Gita is also similar gift for a hero like Arjuna. When he arrives on the battle, he had not come for a dinner party. When he went to Kurukshetra, he knew he was going there for what? Fighting, battling. I even said, I want to see who has assembled. Kair maya saha yodhavyam senayor ubhayor madhye ratham sthapaya. Please take my ratham senayor ubhayor madhye. In between the two armies you rush, Krishna, rush, hurry up. Push my rat forward. So Arjun was very much into battling, fighting. His blood was boiling. Who are they? Just show me. Take my chariot forward. He was not a coward. He was a dhanurdhar, number one archer in the universe. But as chariot was now stationed in between two armies, Arjun was looking at the enemy camp, and Krishna whispers the word, Pashya etan samavetan kurun. Krishna said, these are only words of Sri Krishna in the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita. That's it. He hasn't spoken more than this. Five small words. Pasha, just see. You wanted to see? Just see. See. Take a close look at your enemies. And Arjuna was seeing. And Krishna says, Samavetan. Pasha etan samavetan kurun. Just see, the kurus have assembled, giving hint. Oh, you are kuru. And those who have assembled here to battle, fight with you, they are also kurus. That's it. Arjun got some hint. He started to think differently. Oh, the kurus are brothers or cousins or family members, the teachers, they all have assembled here. And then immediately he started trembling. Gandivam sansrate hastat, he said. Gandivam sansrate is slipping out of my hand unless I have a tight grip over the Gandhi. If the Gandhi was doing this, he could hit the target. It's just slipping, I can't. And my whole body is trembling. Mukham cha parishushyate, my throat is drying up, etc., etc. All these physical things, and then he starts thinking, I don't see any benefit in battling. Na shreyo anupashyami, na shreyaha anupashyami, hatva swajanam ahave. By killing swajanas, I do not see any shreya. Maybe some prayer, he's thinking of shreya. I don't see any stray long-term benefit. I don't see any. And if you are thinking, I should be the, you would be the king. No, I'm not interested. Na rajyam sukhani cha naham kangshe. It's not my ambition to become a king and enjoy. So he also started thinking. So his body was trembling, mouth was drying up. The Gandhi was slipping out of his hands, and he was thinking this way and that way, and then he was remembering some principles of religion, this principle, what about that principle, what about that principle, and which Krishna refers to, sarva dharman parityajya, That is why Krishna had to say, it's not just for nothing, Krishna had to say, sarva dharman parityajya. Because Arjuna was thinking of so many other principles other than mamekam sharanam vraj. He was trying to get around this sharanam, mamekam. Follow every other principle in the scripture, in existence. But sharanam, listening to the Lord, finding out what does He want, what is His will, and try to execute that will. There is mamekam sharanam vraj. He was trying to avoid and find all sorts of justifications to not to fight, while Krishna wanted the fight. Very purpose of Lord's advent was paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha duskritam. So this was the time Krishna, although he had taken vow, no, yes, my army, one party could take my army and other party could take myself. And me, I will not use any weapon. Krishna is so smart. His Lord is so smart. So Arjun was happy with Krishna, and Duryodhana also was happy. Both the parties were happy. Duryodhana had whole army, one Akshohini division. So when Krishna was here on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, lots of demons had come. So Krishna thought, this is a good time to do the vinashaya cha duskritam. This is a good time. Otherwise I have to go door to door killing the duskritinas. That would be just a retail business. I could have a wholesale business here. I could kill. But I will not do so myself. Nimitta matram bhavasavya sachin. You just become nimitta. I will do the rest. And he also showed that he had already done the rest. The army was entering into the mouth of the Lord with a blazing fire. Swaha, swaha. All the enemies were entering into the mouth of the Lord. So what a situation for speech of Bhagavad Gita, song of God, was spoken on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Did anyone know this before, that one day Krishna is going to be speaking Bhagavad Gita? No one knew. That night before, or even that morning, no one knew that today is the day Krishna is going to be delivering. He has appeared all the way from Golok, and he's going to be speaking Bhagavad Gita one day. They did not even have a clue that Bhagavad Gita would be spoken and Krishna would choose this Dharma Kshetre, Kuru Kshetre, and Samaveta, Yutsavaha. Everyone is ready to fight, and Krishna and Arjuna are just in between two armies, and Krishna chooses that as the circumstances within which the Bhagavad Gita was spoken. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. It starts. And we received another gift, the gift of Bhagavad Gita. Ya Swayam Padmanabhasya Mukhapadmat Ministritaha. The Gita was spoken by the Lord. Swayam Padmanabhasya Mukhapadmat. Padmanabh, lotus navelled Lord with a lotus mouth, he spoke these words. These words came right out of the mouth of the Lord. Not just Akashvani. Lord spoke these words. And then Ekam Shastram, Devaki Putra Gitam. Just one scripture is enough. Well, Bhagavatam is also there. So, this way, world has received the gift of two scriptures. One is Bhagavatam, the other one is Bhagavad Gita. And the both things were ordained, arranged by the Lord. Otherwise, Arjuna, like hero, him becoming shedding tears and trembling and proposing, oh, I better beg and survive that way. Arjun to think like this. This is not Arjun, as that was not King Parikshit, as unprecedented. That was unprecedented. What King Parikshit, his act of insulting Shamyak Rishi, that was unprecedented. Similarly, Arjun not wanting to fight, wanting to go away from the battle, personality, Dhanurdhar, Arjun, thinking this way, this is also unprecedented. And it was also ordained by the Lord. As a result, we received two scriptures, Gita and Bhagavatam. And we also have Ramayana. Do you know? Manthara said to Kaikeyi, you know, today Dashrath is preparing. Ram would be the king. He will be enthroned. The whole town is getting ready. It's all being washed and cleaned and decorated and everything is going on. Have you not heard? And when Kaikeyi heard this, she became very happy. Could someone get the sweets? Probably Mantra, what sweets for? Because you brought good news. Ram would be the prince. Such a good news. For sharing good news like this, I want to fill up your mouth with the sweets. Here, sweets. Open your mouth. Gulab Jamun. Such a good news. I'm so happy you are carrier of such a good news. Good morning news. This was the first response of Kaikeyi. But then to Kaikeyi to change around and take that opportunity to ask for the boon, the two boons, approach Dashrath for two boons. Thought like this, proposal like this also was ordained by the Lord. Because demigods were waiting. When is this demon to be killed? Before Lord appeared, whole proposal was made and prayers were offered so that Lord would appear in a human-like form. Because only in human-like form Ravan could be killed. Otherwise, no one else was not in position to kill Ravana. And those benedictions were there. Brahma had given benedictions. Oh, but one benediction I did not give, Brahma said. Demigods said, my dear Brahma, you have put us into trouble, you know. Now this, he cannot be killed by devatas and yakshas and kinnaras and this and that. And you have given such a benediction to this demon Ravan. As they were kind of expressing their disappointment to Brahma. And Brahma thought for a while and he said, hey, but you know one thing that I never said or never gave benediction that he could not be killed by the human being. I did not give such benediction. And neither Ravan cared to have such benediction because he did not give much importance to the human beings. Like if you were to given a benediction, oh, I'm not killed by the police, not be killed by snake, by kill, by this or that, not by terrorist, not by... Would you put on that list, and also make sure some ant does not kill me? You would not even think of ant killing. Who cares for ant? So Ravan also did not care for the human beings. Human beings, I don't care. You don't have to worry about. So for demigods and this party, that party, no one kills me. I'm safe. So Brahma said, yes, yes. The human, I did not put on my list of benediction. The human beings are not on the list. So during that Rajasuya sacrifice and the Putra Kamesti Yajna that Dashrath Maharaj was performing, and Lord appears, and all the demigods made special appeal by, "My dear Lord, you please appear, appear like a human being." And Lord Prime, "Yes, yes, I will appear, not as one form, but four forms. I will not only Ram, but Lakshman, Bharat, Shatrughna, whole team would be there." So the Lord had finally appeared, but he was just busy in Ayodhya. And he's becoming king and becoming prince, and this is all going on, and his Bala Leela is going on, everything's going fine, but the demon is down south there in Lanka, is causing trouble all over the universe. So they wanted to speed up, expedite the whole process. So the demon is quickly killed. So someone had to become instrument. So Kaikai is becoming Nimitta here. And see, "Yes, what about my two boons?" "Yes." And so Ram had to go to Vanavas. And once in Vanavas, the Ravan comes and he kidnaps Sita and Ram. Finally reaches Lanka and battles with Ravan, and he's killed. And then there's a reunion of the family. Ram and Sita are together, and then they come back to Ayodhya. Then again, Sita is banished, and she is there in the ashram of Valmiki Muni, and she gives birth to Lav and Kush, and they are staying there in that ashram. And Valmiki Muni, there's a whole Ramayana Mahatmya, how Ramayana was compiled. So these episodes have taken place. Kaikai has become Nimitta, and Ravan is finally killed, and Ram is back in Ayodhya, and Sita is back again into the forest in Valmiki Muni's ashram. And Valmiki Muni, one time he cursed a hunter. "You! I curse you!" There's a nice two birds, male, female, Crunch and Crunchy are the names mentioned. While they were having nice time, one hunter comes and kills the male. Then Crunchy is crying, and the whole flapping wings, all distress. Valmiki was just there, and so he cursed this hunter. But while he was cursing, he was lamenting, he was doing shoka. Valmiki was full of shoka. Out of shoka, he spoke, cursing this hunter, and shloka came out. He was full of shoka, and shlok came out of his mouth. And this was unprecedented. Something like this kind of shloka, he had never uttered a shloka. First ever. Shlok came out of his mouth. And he was wondering, "What is this? What did I say? But this is, I have said this in the form of a shloka. How did this happen?" So he takes his bath, and then he goes back to his ashram with Bharadvaj Muni. And when he arrives there, Lord Brahma also arrives, and there's a whole greeting of Brahma. But he's thinking, all this time he's thinking, Valmiki Muni says, "Well, how come? I uttered that shloka, I compiled that shloka. I was just full of shoka, lamentation, but shloka, the one beautiful Anustup Chand came out of my mouth. How did this happen?" And he asked this question to Brahma. "How did this happen? Could you please explain?" And Brahma said, "It was me. I arranged to you to say this shloka. And now I instruct you that you compile all the pastimes of Sri Ram. you compile. You will be compiling 24,000 slokas. Today you said one sloka, but now I order you. You compile entire Ramayana.
Oh, Ramayana, I have not met Ram. How does he look like? I have not seen his pastimes. I don't know his Leela.
But you heard the Sankshipta Ramayana from Narad Muni, didn't you?
Yes, I did hear.
Narad Muni had shared Ramayana in 100 verses. This is a Balakand, Pratham Sarga. First kand of Ramayana is Balakand. And each kand has so many sargas, like adhyayas, chapters. So he compiled 7 sargas spread over 7 khandas, 24,000 verses and 500 sargas. That's a Ramayana. So you have heard briefly, Sankshipta Ramayana you have heard. And the Ramayana, the pastimes of Ram would be revealed unto you. I empower you, Brahma empowered Valmiki Muni. And he said, you will see pastimes of Ram like you one sees Amalaki held in the palm. Not it is somewhere in the store, you have to imagine it is in the pack. No, it is right in front. You could see, take a good look of Amalaki in the hand. So Brahma said, you will be able to see pastimes of Ram like that. So you see and you write. You see and you write. You see the pastimes, you write. So Valmiki compiled Ramayana in 24,000 verses, beautiful chandas. And so when Ramayana was ready, and Valmiki was thinking, yes, Ramayana is ready now. But who will propagate, who will spread the glories of Ram? Who will recite Ramayana? And as he was thinking, only thinking, then he saw 2 little boys entering his ashram and bowing down before. They're beautiful, beautiful kids. And they were Love and Kush. So Valmiki took that, these 2 children, these 2 boys are going to be propagating Ramayana. Then Valmiki started teaching Ramayana to this Love and Kush. Gave all the lessons in Ramayana. And these 2 boys, Love and Kush, were quickly picking up, memorizing and reciting, singing Ramayana. They would play Veena while reciting Ramayana. And soon the news spread all over about these 2, Love and Kush, they are reciting Ramayana. The sages started coming from all over to listen to them. And they would listen to them in a rapt attention. They become excited and ecstatic by hearing Ram's pastimes. Sages would shed tears and begin trembling as they, they're sitting, they're all shaking as they heard Love and Kush hearing Ramayana. And then they started traveling, and wherever they would sit and begin recitation of Ramayana, immediately the crowd would gather around them. So traveling and preaching glories of Ram and Ramayana, they reached Ayodhya one day. And in the streets of Ayodhya, Love and Kush, they were reciting Ramayana. And as they walked and sang, people would follow. And they would stand, people would also stand. They would sit down, people would sit down and listen to them. So news spread all over. And Ram got the news. There are some two boys, they are doing Sankirtan, Nagar Sankirtan, all over. They're like a bagpipers. They're attracting everybody in the town. Would be a good idea. I would like to listen. So Ram invited Lav and Kush into his courtyard. And he invited all the family members and ministers and everybody, all big VIPs. The hall was all packed. Lord took a seat on a throne, and Lav and Kush were given microphone. There was no need of microphone. And as they started reciting Ramayan, it was magical. Mantra mugdha, everyone lost external consciousness. They're all absorbed in hearing Ramayan. Ram, to begin with, he was sitting on a very elevated throne, but he thought, I'm part of the audience. Why should I take a big seat like this? So Lord gets up and very quietly he steps down. He did not want to disturb anyone in the audience or attract attention of the audience to him. So very gently he climbs down and makes his way towards those reciters of Ramayana, and he sits at their feet and continues to hear Ramayana from Lav and Kush, and he has no clue who these boys are. He doesn't even know. They were as beautiful as Bimb and Pratibimb. If Ram was a bimb, then they were pratibimb, like a reflection. They were. So this way, Lav and Kush, they became the first reciters of Ramayana, and Sri Ram has become one of the listeners of that great epic, Ramayana. So this way, the world is benefited by yet another scripture, Ramayana. We had Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, and then this Kaikeyi had to ask for the boons and send Ram into the forest, and all those things happened, leading to a compilation of Ramayana by Valmiki Muni. Itai Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Oh.